Over the next month, members of Fellowship will have the opportunity to nominate individuals to serve on our Elder Board. In our church's leadership structure, the Elder Board consists of godly men who make significant, Spirit-led decisions on behalf of our church body. We're not simply a church with elders. We're a church led by elders.
The nomination and recognition process is essential to the health of our church family, and we invite you to approach this season with prayerful consideration. Please note, you must be a member of Fellowship, having completed the Discover process to submit a nomination, and likewise, your nominee must also be a member. Here's how you can participate.
First, take time to pray over the elder nomination process and ask God whether He is leading you to nominate someone, a member, for this role. Second, if you feel led to nominate someone, visit the link shown on your screen and complete the online nomination form. Please be sure to read the document titled Qualifications of Elder before submitting your nomination.
The deadline to submit nominations is December 15th. We ask that you also continue to pray for your current elders as we enter this season of discernment. We'll be seeking God's guidance as we review nominations and recognize new candidates. Those selected will be presented to the church body as candidates. It is vital that there's full biblical affirmation from our church family before anyone is appointed as elder.
Finally, we want to express our deepest gratitude to Chip Jackson, Jim Ants, Joe Ross, and Ed Parrish for their faithful service as elders. These men have represented both you and the Lord with integrity and humility. When you see them, please take a moment to thank them personally for their work. We're also thankful for you and your involvement in this process, which has helped guide our church for over 40 years. God bless.
Well, hey, good morning, Fellowship. Hey, this week we get to focus on peace and rejoice in the peace that comes from our Lord. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, it says this. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And we're going to sing a song about that peace. It's a song you all know well called "Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Peace on Earth and Mercy Mild." Let's stand and sing this song together.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all the nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven time, behold Him come, offspring.
Good morning, Fellowship Bentonville. You can take a seat. My name's Kyle Plunkett. I'm on the student team here at Fellowship Bentonville, and I get to work with our 7th through 12th graders. And this is one of my favorite Sundays every month because it's the first Sunday of the month, which means we get to come in here and worship with you as one big multi-generational family, and I just love it. So if you see high schoolers or junior high kids sitting anywhere, say hey, make them feel welcomed and loved. Hey, we're about to do some baptisms, but before that, I have a couple of announcements I want to make sure you're aware of. First, we have the gift is currently open, and this is a fellowship tradition that's been going on for a number of years that uses generosity from you, from our body, to bless other ministries in the city of Bentonville and across the world. And so as a family, as you're thinking of ways to bless others, as you're thinking about supporting maybe other ministries or missionaries, consider the gift. It's a really, really sweet way that we get to support other ministries and also bless others in our city, kind of outside of our normal ministry structure. And so you can check out any details you need to on that on our website, but that is the gift. Speaking of the gift and gifts and the season that Advent is, I have our Christmas Eve service times for you. You can see the family service is kind of late afternoon into early evening, and then we have a more traditional service at 8 p.m. that will all be here. Bring your friends, bring your family, invite your neighbors. Come worship with us on Christmas Eve. We're really, really looking forward to it. This is one of our favorite services of the year, as it should be. We're celebrating God with us, right? Jesus's Advent, and so come worship with us. And I got one final announcement. This is for men's morning. This is our last men's morning of the year, and I said in first service that it's in the great room. It's not. So if you have any first service friends who go to men's morning, tell them we're actually gonna meet in the foyer at 6:30 a.m. on this Wednesday, and we're gonna do a men's morning potluck breakfast or brunch or whatever Abel tells me it is. What I'm guessing is that means a lot of Harp's donuts. That's what men's morning at 6:30 is gonna be. But yeah, let your people know. Come join us on men's morning. It's for any man in the body who wants to be around brothers who are following Jesus together. And so those are my announcements. Let's celebrate now and worship with the celebration of baptism. So I want to invite up families, family and friends of everybody being baptized. So for Bev and for Sam and for Colin and for Maddie. And I also want to invite up the communities of those being baptized too. So community, y'all kind of stand here because there's a lot of us. And then family and those doing the baptizing, you actually come join me on the stage.
Hi, I'm Hannah Carter, and I've had the joy of knowing Beverly since she was about 5 years old. From the start, she has always been tender-hearted, thoughtful, and full of genuine curiosity about the world around her. It's been a gift to watch those qualities grow with her. A couple of years ago, some of Bev's friends invited her to their cell group, and that simple invitation opened a new chapter in her life. In that space, surrounded by peers who loved her and loved Jesus, her curiosity about faith began to blossom. She started asking big questions, diving into scripture, and spending time in her Bible both with her small group and on her own. It's been incredible to watch her discover who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. Today is a special moment. Beverly, I'm so proud of your desire to follow Christ and to walk with him for the rest of your life. Your openness, your sincerity, and your beautiful heart point others toward Jesus. I can't wait to see how God continues to work in and through you.
Beverly, is it your testimony that you know Jesus, you follow him, and you want to walk with him all the days of your life?
Yes.
Awesome. Go ahead and hold your nose. Then I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in new life.
Thank you.
All right, next we have Colin Carmichael. There we go, hey Will.
Good morning, my name is Will Carmichael, and today me and my brother have the incredible blessing of baptizing our dad, Colin. Today is a super special day and a full testament of God's faithfulness in our family. In 2022, me and my brother began following Jesus. With that, my dad couldn't help but see the Father's love in us. By watching me and my brother, he realized that there is hope, love, and joy in following Jesus. My dad grew up with a distorted view on who God is. He thought God was constantly angry, disappointed, and not pleased with him. He believed that God had so many rules and he could never live up to them. This led to him following the world for several years. In his 20s, he ran to alcohol, drugs, and any other temporary pleasure he could find. This left him empty, broken, and with little hope. My dad was baptized as a child, but has decided to get baptized again as an act of obedience and a redeclaration to start following Jesus again. My dad's story is proof that the Father never gives up on his children. He is always pursuing us, even in our brokenness. There is nothing too big or too small for our God, and this is the hope we have in Jesus. I love you, Dad, and I'm so proud of you.
Dad, is it your testimony that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life?
Yes.
And do you wish to follow him the rest of your days?
Yes.
It's my privilege and as a brother in Christ to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Love you. Sam's going to share his own story.
Growing up, I knew all about Jesus, but he was never a focus in my life. I always was seeking validation from the very start, and I grew into this facade. It's kind of method acting technique to be someone that people liked rather than myself. By the time eighth grade came around, I had already fully put my walls up. And by the time ninth grade came around, I already had formed horrible habits and was treating people in an awful way. I was in desperate need of something better, but there was just no hope for me in my own mind. I couldn't sit in a room by myself without self-loathing. My junior year of high school, I made an awful decision to be unfaithful to my girlfriend, and it created the shame and hatred in myself, but something I didn't realize is that my walls came down. It made way for vulnerability. About a week later, I met Harrison Hicks at a Christmas Eve party, a family gathering. And he invited me to meet with him the next week and talk about Jesus. And there, I realized how much I needed the love of Jesus. And seeing a faithful witness, the love of Jesus then came to me, and I got to experience the full love of Christ, which fully changed the trajectory of my life.
Yeah, like Sam said, my name's Harrison, and I met him around this time last year. And Sam, actually, at this Christmas Eve party that he was referencing, he asked to make me a drink. And as someone who used to struggle with substances, I thought, man, what a great opportunity to get to just share my story with him. So I tell him my testimony, and Sam, he goes, man, that's awesome. You know, when I'm a junior in college, I actually plan to be a pretty good Christian myself. And I didn't quite know what that meant, but I was like, dude, that's awesome. Like, we should get some lunch and we should talk about that. And I got to share the truth of the fact that we're separated from God because of our sin, but that Christ, he made a way through his life, death, and resurrection for us to be in loving relationship with him. And Sam made that decision that day. And ever since, I know all of his friends and his family and anybody who's met him can testify that he is a witness of radical, radical life change. And we're so, so happy for him. So, Sam, is it your testimony in front of all of these people that you are going to follow Jesus for the rest of your life?
Yes.
It is my honor and privilege to baptize you.
Go ahead and sit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism,
raised to walk in newness of life.
Good morning. My name is Bailey Prude, and I am one of five cell group leaders for the senior girls. And I've had the privilege of knowing Maddie since she was in the fifth grade. Maddie is compassionate, she has a radiant life for the Lord, and she's a friend to all. In Maddie's walk of life, she's battled with anxiety and self-consciousness. But she wants others to know that following Jesus isn't easy, and life isn't perfect. Maddie has had to trust in his ways more than her own, through moving school districts three different times, allowing her imperfections to be seen, and letting him take the wheel in her recruiting journey for softball. It's God whom you've trusted, and God who's proven to be patient, trustworthy, and a friend. I'm proud of the way that you've let the Lord transform your life. You have the courage to be vulnerable and the openness to grow. Psalm 139 reminds Maddie that Jesus is with her no matter where she goes and what she's going through. It also reminds her that she's made beautifully and marvelously, and that God speaks great things about his creation. When I asked Maddie what baptism means to her, she said, "Baptism is proclaiming that I am a child of God and that he is my Lord and Savior. It's the way we approach the hard times like anxiety and approval, and I'm gonna approach it in the way that Jesus is with me." Today in baptism, Maddie is proclaiming to all of you that Jesus is her Lord and Savior. Maddie, we stand with you as you publicly declare your life to abiding in Jesus forever, and we are so proud of you. We love you.
Well said, Bailey. Maddie, is that your testimony, that Jesus has changed your life and you're going to walk with him always?
Yes.
Awesome. Then I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, raised with Christ in newness of life.
Great to celebrate baptisms together, isn't it? And hey, church, there are still a few folks looking for chairs to sit in, so I think the word is scooch. If you can scooch into the middle of your rows and make some seats available, that'd be great. Do you stand with us as we sing this next song?
Faithful, you are. sing this together.
In your promises, my confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises, my confidence. Yeah, is your faithfulness. Sing.
Jesus approached Nazareth, the tension was rising, and people were talking. They gathered to hear him, both excited and skeptical, because they longed for peace. They were ready for a king and for a warrior, and they could not imagine what this carpenter's son was about to tell them as he picked up the scroll to read.
Maybe we should back up. I mean, this moment had been building for a long time. For generations, for centuries, for millennia. A story of hope for something that had been lost. Let's go back to the beginning.
Well, in the beginning, there was only God and only peace. And not the kind that's easily broken. This was shalom, wholeness, harmony. The kind of peace that hums through the air when everything is as it should be. See, before there was light or land or laughter, there was a conversation. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, eternal, complete, unhurried, dreaming together. What if we created? What if we shared the joy that's been ours forever? And so together, they spoke. Light into darkness, matter into emptiness, beauty into the void.
God formed mountains that touched the clouds, oceans that mirrored the heavens, stars that sang their own radiant song. Everything in creation hummed in harmony. The wind not only swayed the trees, it sang through them. The rivers did more than flow, they rejoiced. But nothing compared to when God knelt to the ground. With his own hands, he shaped humanity from the dust, breathing his very breath into their very lungs. When they opened their eyes, the first thing they saw was the beauty of the face of God, peace. This new creation walked together in the cool of the day with God. They worked, laughed, rested, all with him. No separation, no fear, no shame, just peace. Creation and creator in harmony. They didn't have to search for peace. It was simply who they were.
But then came the whisper. Did God really say? The question slithered into the garden and cracked the sound of peace. It whispered pause in their ears and doubt into their hearts. A single bite, a heartbeat later, and the air changed. The music stopped. The trees went still. The peace that once filled the atmosphere suddenly dissipated. The eyes that once saw beauty now saw their own nakedness, and they hid, ashamed, the way a child hides from the one who loves them the most. And from that day, peace was broken. Not destroyed forever, but fractured, like a mirror catching light in all the wrong directions. Sin entered the world, and with it, enmity, toil, and tears. The ground that once grew gardens now produced thorns. The hearts that once knew rest now felt restlessness. Relationships fractured. Fear replaced joy. Death entered life. But even as peace was lost, hope whispered mercy. A promise to the woman and her offspring that restoration would happen and a merciful covering, a life given to cover the broken.
Was the story of peace over? Oh, far from it. It had only begun to ache. A new word entered the human vocabulary, redeemer. With only an elementary definition, it would take some time to understand what that word truly meant. Peace with God was lost, but not forgotten. The echo of Eden still lingered, waiting for restoration. And one day, the garden song would rise again. Holy, holy, holy forever.
Falling down in worship to sing the song of ages.
can take a seat.
Centuries passed, and the world became more broken. The ache for peace deepened. The garden's echo lingered like a melody humanity couldn't stop humming. But God had a plan, and he began to reveal to people and promises how peace would one day be restored.
Abraham was the first to step into the unknown. He left home, land, and family because he trusted the God who said, "Go, and I will make you into a great nation." Under a starlit sky, he believed God's promise of descendants and blessings for all peoples. Peace, he learned, begins with trust, a faith that rests even when nothing is certain. Humanity's peacemaker would need to be a faithful pioneer willing to leave home for something greater.
Then came Moses, a deliverer who faced Pharaoh's fury with nothing but a staff and a word from God. He saw seas split open, bread fall from heaven, and God's presence on a mountain. He learned that peace sometimes means standing between an enslaved people and the powers that hold them captive, declaring, "Let my people go." It seems like peace would have to come through a powerful deliverer.
Joshua led God's people into battle and promise. His feet stood in the Jordan River as God stopped its flow. He watched walls fall at the sound of trumpets. Joshua discovered that peace is far from passive. It requires courage to take to the next fateful step, even when the outcome isn't visible. It seems God's peace would need a victorious warrior.
Then there was Deborah, a prophet and judge, wise as could be, leading Israel with discernment and strength. She heard God's call and rallied hesitant warriors, proving that peace also flows through those who listen to God's voice and act boldly. A woman of justice. Surely peace would come through one like her?
Well, years later, David enters the story, the shepherd king. His songs filled the hills of the land before a crown ever touched his head. He defeated giants, united tribes, and dreamed of a house for the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart, yet flawed. Even his kingdom couldn't hold lasting peace. Peace would require a righteous ruler, but he was going to have to be greater than David.
Each of these men and women offered a glimpse of the restoration of peace. A pioneer, a deliverer, a warrior, a judge, a king. But humanity needed someone who could be all of these things at once. And so they wondered, surely no man or woman could carry that weight? Humanity had never been more right.
And yet, they had never been more wrong. And so the prophets cried, "How long, O Lord?" Asking questions we still ask today. When will the chaos end? And is peace even possible in this world? And the ache deepened. The promises waited. And the world held its breath, longing for a peace that never seemed to come. God, come to us. Oh, come, come, Emmanuel.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears.
Disperse the gloom.
700 years of silence. No prophets, no angels, just waiting. Peace seemed impossible. The people prayed the same prayers year after year under foreign rulers, under heavy taxes, under a sky that fell silent. Rome now ruled with iron, and heaven seemed still. The scrolls still spoke as promises, but they read like memories, or even worse, mistakes. Then, on one quiet night, the silence broke.
And not with a trumpet, or even thunder and lightning, but with a sound so ordinary, yet so holy, the scream of a newborn, a son. His cry pierced the darkness like dawn, a glimpse of light and warmth after a long, sleepless night. Something had shifted, and like a heart flutter that takes your breath, all creation exhaled.
In a small, unremarkable town that no one talked about, the smell of animals hung heavy in the air. A faint light flickered from a single lamp, just enough light to see the silhouette of the King of Kings make his entrance. Not in a palace, not in power, but in poverty.
And in an instant, the smell of hay was overcome by the sight of hope. See, Mary was barely a young woman herself. Her hands trembled as she wrapped her new son in cloth, her postpartum body still bleeding and shaking as she held him close. The weight of him in her arms, warm, soft, and alive. His tiny fingers gripped hers. His breath was steady, and she could feel his heartbeat against her chest as her tears mixed with the straw below.
Like the faithful man he was, Joseph stood near. As Mary hands him their son, he felt the weight, so light, yet so heavy at the same time. The carpenter's hands that once shaped wood now steadied the Savior of the world, a humble man holding a humble king. And outside, the night wind whispered through the fields, "He's here," as a star burned brighter than the rest.
And this was no ordinary child. Angels had announced him. Babies had leapt in the womb at his nearness. Shepherds would soon run to him, and wise men were already following a light to find him. Fragile, crying, hungry, and sleepy. This was God with us, the Word made flesh, Emmanuel.
Heaven's peace breathed human air. All heaven rejoiced as the world slept unaware. Peace had arrived, not in armor, but in rags. The long night was ending because peace now had a name and a face. The great light of the world had come, and the darkness couldn't contain him.
God is and has always been light. God also is and has always been surprising. For though in him no darkness is found, our Lord has not revealed himself past the curiosity of night. From the primordial spirit hovering above the waters to the pillar of fire guiding the Israelites, Elijah recognizing God in the silence, and even the virgin birth in a starlit manger, which we celebrate in this season. In the deep blue of dusk, God is clothed in robes of light, yet shrouded amongst the branches and leaves, beyond the fixations of our knowledge, and still as consuming as the blueness itself. For despite all absurdities of grief and all fear and all terror, we serve a God who chose to keep his most magnificent miracles obscured in the drawn curtains of a holy night.
This is the word of the Lord from Isaiah 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thank you.
Well, the shepherds were used to silence. Nights on the hillside were long and lonely, filled with the soft shuffle of sheep, the distant howl of wolves, and the gentle crackle of a fire. And their faces were weathered by wind and time. Forgotten by society, they kept watch while others slept. And this was just an ordinary, peaceful night, until it wasn't. Light exploded across the sky, brighter than fire, whiter than daylight. And their hands flew to their faces as the air seemed to vibrate with sound. Do not be afraid.
Easier said than done. Voices, hundreds, thousands filled the heavens, echoing through the valley like thunder, accompanying their splendor like lightning. Together they declared, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Peace? On earth? To shepherds? These were men on the margins, unseen, unclean, unimportant. Yet, heaven's birth announcement was sent to them. It seems this peace doesn't begin in palaces to the princes, but in fields to the filthy.
And the sound was overwhelming, the joy and thunder, music and power. And then, just as suddenly, it was gone. Silence again, only the soft echo of their racing hearts. And they looked at one another, stunned at the news of the Messiah born in Bethlehem, one of them finally speaking up, "Let's go." And they ran, tripping over rocks, laughing, gasping, shouting through the dark all the way to Bethlehem. And when they arrived, breathless, wide-eyed, and exhausted, there he was, breathless, wide-eyed, and exhausted.
A baby, just as the angel said. The stable was small, the air thick with the scent of animals, and yet somehow the aroma of peace was stronger. Mary looked up as they entered, exhaustion on her face, but her eyes shone with quiet wonder. As they told her their story, she smiled softly, as if she already knew.
She must have seen something familiar in their eyes. Maybe the same mixture of wonder and disbelief that she once had when Gabriel appeared to her. Because in that earlier moment of startling news, she didn't run, she didn't argue. She simply said, "I am the Lord's servant. Be it unto me according to your word."
Mary said yes to a plan that would upend her life. To many, it looked like a scandal, yet she willingly carried the mystery of the Messiah into her own body. That's what peace looks like. Trust in the chaos, surrender in the unknown. And now she held yet peace close, her yes swaddled in her arms, her laughter mixed with tears, the Savior's tiny fingers stretched to her cheek as if to say, in his own infant way, "I love you, Mom."
Peace isn't the absence of chaos, but the Savior within it. Mary's yes made way for the world's salvation, and even still embodied the humility all humanity would need in order to find life, purpose, and peace. That is to look at God and say, "Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word."
You are my everything, my joy, my world.
Pierced the darkness. News of him spread throughout the land, but so did opposition. The world couldn't understand him. He touched lepers no one would touch. He forgave sins no one could forgive. He calmed storms with a word and hearts with a look. With every interaction, he meant what he said. The kingdom of God is here.
And news about him spread like wildfire throughout Galilee. Crowds gathered to hear him speak and to see with their own eyes the one who healed the broken and lifted the weary. And one Sabbath, he returned to his hometown, Nazareth. The boy that they had watched grow up was now the teacher that everyone was talking about. And in the synagogue, he stood to read the scriptures and was handed the scroll of Isaiah. And he unrolled it slowly but deliberately until he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor.
It was stunning. He wasn't just reading prophecy. He embodied it, the anointed one, the agent of true peace, not political peace or religious order, but divine peace that frees captives, opens blind eyes, and restores what sin has shattered. It was a radical claim, completely unexpected. As the lowly carpenter's son claimed to be the Messiah, they became enraged. That day in Nazareth foreshadowed the road to Calvary.
It was because his kingdom of peace was not what people expected. They wanted a conqueror, but he came as a servant. They expected war, but he preached love for enemies. And they dreamed of a throne, but he chose a cross. And when soldiers came to arrest him, his disciples drew swords, but he said, "Put your sword away." And when accused, he stayed silent. When mocked and beaten, he did not fight back. And as he hung on the cross, he whispered, "Father, forgive them." And with his last breath, there was once again silence. But this silence was different because something was changing. Something had changed. And through this undeserved death, heaven's peace had invaded earth.
Because 3 days later, the stone rolled away and the tomb was empty. The Prince of Peace won, not by shedding the blood of his adversaries, but his own. Not by killing his enemies, but dying for them. And the first words he spoke to his frightened followers were, "Peace be with you." He had conquered death itself. And then he commissioned them and us, saying, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." The peace of Jesus was meant to be shared.
And so to live in his peace is to walk in his ways. And to forgive as we've been forgiven, to serve as we've been served, to carry his presence with us into every dark and divided corner of the world, and to trust him in the midst of the chaos and unknown. This kingdom he brought is not marked by borders or armies, but by hearts restored, relationships healed, sins forgiven, and a hope renewed. A kingdom of mercy, justice, grace, truth, and love.
This Advent season, we slow down. We pause. We rest in this unexpected peace from our unexpected King. In the peace we have, we give to others. In a world that transfers angst, pressure, hurry, and restlessness, we offer peace with God and peace with others. Peace on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus.
I am an instrument of exaltation. I was born to lift your name above all names. You hear the melody of all creation, but there's a song of praise that only I can bring and sing. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. You are the You chose to make my heart a dwelling place.
Thank you, Lord.
You healed my brokenness. Showed me your glory. So I have songs of thanks that even angels sing. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one. Jesus.
Jesus, who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There's no one, there is no one, only you, Jesus. There is no one, only you, Jesus.
Well, there is nothing like the peace of God, that even in the midst of darkness or brokenness or struggle or chaos, that his presence settles us and it brings life and hope in the midst of it. So we hope this morning that you have even just a little bit bigger glimpse of all that it took to bring that peace to us through Jesus.